What in the world is Father Abraham doing in today's first lesson, haggling with the Ancient of Days? We can find part of the answer to that question in St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, where he writes that we should have no anxiety at all, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. That is called intercessory prayer. And together with prayers of supplication, that is what we see happening in the scripture lessons today, both in Genesis and in Luke's gospel. But before we examine those texts, another question must be answered. If God knows absolutely everything, then we cannot tell him anything he does not already know, including the things locked most deeply in our hearts. So given that God knows everything that we will ever ask, what is the point of making our request known to him? Well, the point is this. By offering prayers for ourselves and for others, we are not trying to change God. We are trying to let God change us. When we labor under illusions of self-sufficiency, autonomy, and absolute control of our lives, then we live in self-absorption and become lost in fantasies that lead to the deception of ourselves and others. But when we make our requests known to God by prayer and petition and live within our true limits by grace through faith, hope, and love, then the peace of God that surpasses understanding guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And by that, we are shaped to live in true communion with others. Perhaps an illustration from a different text of Scripture will help us grasp this point about the real purpose of intercessory prayer. Some people read the story of Abraham being asked to sacrifice Isaac and conclude that the God of Israel is a monstrous murderer, unworthy of adoration. And if a surface reading of that text were its true meaning, then such a conclusion would be reasonable. But the point of that event in the life of Abraham and Isaac is not that God is an evil tyrant who demands child sacrifice. No, Abraham was so ready to murder his son because human sacrifice, especially of children, was a common feature of pagan worship in Abraham's day, as it has been in every age and remains so today. What do you think an abortion chamber is? Understood in its proper depth, the point of that story in Genesis is that through Abraham and Isaac, the true God intervened to stop human sacrifice and at the same time to prepare the world to understand the true sacrifice to come in Jesus Christ. And just so with prayers of intercession and supplication. We are not trying to talk God into giving us something he doesn't want us to have, like children wearing down their mother at the grocery store to get a giant box of chocolate-covered sugar bombs. No, God asks us to make our prayers and petitions known so that we will gradually learn that we are dependent upon him for everything and that we are bound to each other by bonds of love and fellowship, which will be fully known and made perfect only in the communion of saints. And that is how we find in Christ the gift of peace that surpasses understanding. And so we are ready now to turn to today's readings. We start in Genesis, once again in chapter 18, where we left off last Sunday at the Terebinth of Mamre, an ancient place of prayer near Hebron. And here we should stipulate that all of chapter 18 of Genesis is a very strange text, even as measured by the standards of the serpent of the garden and Noah's ark. Last week, we read about the visit to Abraham of three mysterious visitors who were not men, but heavenly messengers sent from the Lord to promise a son to Abraham and Sarah. These three heavenly visitors were regarded by the fathers of the church not just as angels, but as a prefiguring of the Holy Trinity. And in the first lesson today, those visitors are still with Abraham, who is on a journey to the city of Sodom, one of the five cities on the plain near the Dead Sea, which about 2,000 years before the birth of Christ were all wiped from the face of the earth by a cataclysm of, how else to say it, biblical proportions. Sodom and the neighboring city of Gomorrah had a bad reputation for being saturated with sin, and their coming destruction seemed an inevitable consequence of their wickedness. But then Abraham began to intercede with God to be merciful to those cities, even for the sake of 50 or 45 or 40 or 30 or 20 or even 10 righteous people, lest the innocent perish with the guilty. Abraham lifted up prayers of intercession and supplication. But remember, in such petitions, we are not trying to talk God into giving us something he does not want us to have. In speaking this way to the Lord, Abraham was not changing the mind of God. He was allowing the Lord to change his own heart. And in this case, the change which was needed in Abraham's heart was not to thirst for violence or vengeance against a city given to forms of depravity that he found repulsive. So do not be misled by a surface reading of this text or by its anthropomorphic portrayal of Abraham bargaining with God like traders in a market. As Christ himself explains of the divine purpose in teaching us to ask God for what we need, if you then who are wicked know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And now we come to the gospel. St. Luke tells us how the Lord Jesus taught his disciples to pray, and a central feature of that instruction is the need for unfailing perseverance. Ask, and you will receive. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. But once again, remember that in this persistent, even annoying, asking, seeking, and knocking, we are the ones being changed, not the Lord. And so we come to the heart of Christ's teaching on prayer, his own prayer, the Lord's Prayer. Please note that two versions of the Our Father are recorded in the New Testament, one in Matthew, the other in Luke. And in the sacred liturgy, we use the longer version found in St. Matthew's Gospel. That is why the text we have before us today in Luke's Gospel is not the same one we all know by heart. With that in mind, let's now look at each petition in the Lord's Prayer. Father, hallowed be your name. The name of God is holy and must be kept holy on our lips. And the revealed name of God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In this prayer, we speak to the Father, in the Son, through the Holy Spirit. But the very fact that we are commanded to address the living God as Father rather than Master is revolutionary and is possible only because by the grace of adoption conferred on us by the Holy Spirit in holy baptism, we become sons and daughters of God the Father through our participation in the divine nature of the human Son of Mary, who is also, before the creation of the universe, God the Son. Your kingdom come. This is both a confession of faith in the kingdom of God already among us in Christ the King, and a petition for that kingdom to come fully. And the eternal kingdom of God will have come fully and finally only when, in Christ, God's will is done by all people on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Here we acknowledge that we depend upon God for everything, starting with our lives, which are a pure gift, sustained only by the continuous creative will of God and the gracious nourishment of the Word of God, the Word made flesh, who is the bread of life. Forgive us our sins. We are separated from God, who is holy, by everything in us that is unholy, including every thought, word, and deed of ours that is contrary to the law of love. And so our sins must be forgiven, absolved, and wiped clean by Christ Jesus for us to be ready and able to stand before the Lord without fear of death and to look upon the face of God with love and gratitude rather than with shame. Forgive us our sins as we ourselves forgive everyone in debt to us. Please take note, because this is a perilous petition for us to make. We are asking God the Father to forgive our sins in exactly the same measure of mercy we offer to those who have harmed us by their sins. God be praised that the Lord Jesus makes this exchange of mercies possible for us by his own petition from the cross. Father, forgive them. And last, do not subject us to the final test. Here we confess that we do not have the strength to endure a contest with dark and ungodly powers. And so we rely always upon the strength of the Lord and not upon our own effort to live by grace through faith, hope, and love. In every test, trial, and temptation, our one prayer must be, Lord, save us. Friends, regular prayer, daily prayer of intercession and supplication is essential to Christian faith and life. And so with the psalmist, we praise God today for the grace to worship this day and every day in his holy temple, who is Christ the Lord, and to give thanks to his holy name. And it is that very gift St. Paul had in mind when he wrote to the Philippians, have no anxiety at all, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.